were blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour as we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
It's fall. Trees are shedding leaves. Our minds are turning to planning for the holidays ahead as we will celebrate the upcoming seasons of sharing with family and friends. The Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church with the senior pastor, Reverend Joseph Garner, located 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville, Louisiana, announces its annual fall revival, taking place on Monday, October 26th through Wednesday, October 28th, 2015, 7 o'clock p.m. nightly. This year's guest revivalist will be the renowned the Reverend John Terrence Tate of the First Thessalonian Missionary Baptist Church of Memphis, Tennessee.
Still ain't feeling me. Many, many of us, we come to this convention, we go to our various churches, and we put our faith in the pool and not in God's power. Okay, you sitting there like you're saved, sanctified, and sedated, but let me talk to you for a minute. A lot of you put your faith in the pool of your career, comfort, connections, your cash, your credentials, your car, your calling, your cute and cuddly colleagues, your man, your money, your medicine, your ministry, your accomplishments, your anointing, your achievements, and your approval. And God says, don't put your faith in a pool, but put it in my power. The reason why I'm standing here today is not because I'm so good, but I put my trust in his power.
God's word states in Proverbs 15:23, says, a man by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Come and be a part of the Pleasant Hill Annual Revival Experience taking place Monday, October 26th through Wednesday, October 28th, 7 o'clock p.m. nightly. Come and hear a word in due season and be joyous.
God has for me, is for me, and I don't know who I'm preaching to this evening, but I just stopped down to tell you, don't give up, because it got to get better. Don't give up. It's got to get better.
Additional information, you may feel free to phone the church at 337-238-1779. That's 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church and Pastor Reverend Joseph Gardner is a proud sponsor of 88.1 FM Alexandria, 92.5 FM Shreveport, 98.9 FM Monroe.
This morning to the 119th number of the Book of Psalm and the 71st verse, Psalm 119 and 71. And for just a few moments this morning, I will be speaking to you from the subject, Learning in the Classroom of Affliction. Learning in the Classroom of Affliction. Psalm 119 and 71, let us read it together. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. That verse only, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Learning in the classroom of affliction. Thank you, ushers. Not too many of us, if any of us, run looking for affliction. Very few of us would warmly embrace affliction. As a matter of fact, the rational human being is not looking with anticipatory joy for affliction to show up in their lives. Affliction is that which causes pain and distress. Affliction, by its very definition, is that which is catastrophic and calamitous. Very few, if any of us, go out looking for affliction. Affliction is uncomfortable. We had a powerful time in prayer meeting on Wednesday this past week, and as I sat in my office listening, I heard people pray for all types of things, but I didn't hear one person pray and ask God to give them affliction. And it makes sense because affliction, by its very definition, will upset us and cause us pain and discomfort. No one is praying and asking God to send affliction into their life. The tremendous flooding that is taking place in South Carolina and places across the Northeast United States, that is affliction. I heard a 70-year-old woman say that her home was destroyed, a home that she worked for all of her life, and because she did not live in a flood zone, she did not have flood insurance. And so in a real sense, she said that she would have to start all over again. Amen. Is there anybody here who understands that that is affliction? No one in their right mind, no one who is sane and practical, has a fervent desire to experience affliction. However, the psalmist says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." Y'all, what in the world is he talking about? What in the world is he thinking to make him make a statement like this? It is oxymoronic. It is a paradox to even say the same two words in the same sentence, good and affliction. How can he fix his mouth to say it is good for me that I have been afflicted? Well, maybe we need to get into his psyche. Maybe we need to get into his mind to try and figure out how he could make a statement such as this. What are you talking about? It is good for me that I was afflicted. Well, as we take a closer examination of this text, there are at least three things that we can glean from the passage that should help us to better understand how he comes to this point in his existence where he is happy, he is excited, he is joyful, if you will, about affliction coming into his life. The first thing that we can glean from this passage as to how the psalmist is able to ultimately bring himself to making the statement that it was good for him that he was afflicted, first of all, it seems that he is saying that his affliction reveals his connection to God. His affliction reveals his connection to the Lord. Because if you read Psalm 119 and verse 71, you will see that not only does the psalmist say that it was good for him that he was afflicted, but if you read on to the latter part of the verse, you will see where he says that it was good for him that he was afflicted, watch this, that he might learn God's statutes. The psalmist seems to suggest to us that he learned something while he was being afflicted that he could not have learned if he had never been afflicted. Please understand that these are the reflections, these are the ruminations of someone who has already come through something, and as a consequence, he is better able to share the reflections of what he has already experienced. He says it was good for me that I was afflicted because as a consequence of my affliction, I learned the statutes of the Lord. Y'all, I absolutely love this 119th number of the book of Psalms because when you read it, amen, you understand that all the way through verse 176, you discover that it is the longest of all of the Psalms. When I read it, it reminds me of the power of the Word of God. Is there anybody here who knows that there is power in the Word of God? You will discover that it is divided up based upon the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. and that each division of 8 verses underneath the heading of the Hebrew alphabet begins with the letter for that section. But not only that, you find that he uses several words that are synonymous to the word of God. He uses words like God's precepts, God's statutes, God's law, God's judgments. But all of these words point back to the depth and the profundity of the word of Yahweh, the word of the true and living God. And so over and over again, he uses a structure and a word pattern that reminds us of the wonder, the wealth, and the worth of the word of God. And I come by to remind us that every believer ought to be happy when you hear the word of God. When you hear that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, tell your neighbor, that ought to make you happy. When you hear that the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Tell that other neighbor, that ought to make you happy. When you hear that my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory, that ought to make you happy. Do I have a witness here today? When you hear that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that ought to make you happy. When you hear that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that ought to make some joy bells start ringing down in your soul. It ought to make you happy. You ought not have to have anybody pumping you up and prodding you to praise the Lord. Do I have a witness today? Because when you hear the Word of God, it ought to make you happy. When you hear that if it had not been for the Lord, who was on my side, where would I be? That ought to make you give God some praise. And the psalmist says that it was good for him that he was afflicted because he learned the word of God. He said that when he was afflicted, he received marching orders from God that helped him to understand that his affliction was not going to take him out, but his affliction was going to make him better. I learned that my affliction was not to destroy me, but it was to make me better. I wonder how many of us can look back over our lives and see that those moments when we were afflicted by some burden, by some calamity, but as we reflect on it now, we realize that if we had not gone through that, we wouldn't be who we are today. Do I have a witness today? We realize that if we had not gone through that experience, we would not be able to come to church today and lift up both hands and say, the Lord will make a way somehow. Is there anybody in the room who can testify that my affliction made me stronger? My affliction gave me a greater and stronger connection to my God. He says, it is good for me that I was afflicted so that I might learn thy statutes. I learned some things while I was being afflicted that I could not have learned otherwise. I do have some witnesses who will testify that you can learn some things when it's raining that you cannot learn on a bright, sunshiny day. Oh, I know, I have some witnesses who will testify that you can learn some things down in the deep, dark valley of life that you cannot learn on the mountaintop. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. I know that there are some folk in here who will testify that you learn some things when your money is funny and your change is strange that you cannot learn when your bank account is overflowing with money. Is there anybody in here that can say, I learned how to trust in God? Is there anybody here that can say, I learned that the Lord will make a way somehow? Is there anybody here that can say, I learned that God will supply all of your needs? Is there anybody here that can testify that he can give you peace in a dark situation? He will put joy in your heart, clapping in your hands, running in your feet. Is there anybody here that can say, I learned through the worst of life that the Lord will make a way somehow? He'll put a smile on your face and joy in your heart. Psalmist says, I learned something. Kind of reminds me of the Apostle Paul in our Sunday school lesson when Paul said that I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. And ain't no need in you sitting here and acting like you were born, amen, in Buckingham Palace with a silver spoon in your mouth. There are some folk who don't mind getting their praise on today because they can remember a time when they didn't know what they were gonna eat. They didn't know what they were gonna wear. But now they can come into the house of the Lord and not sit there like the folk who are full of the devil. Not sit there like the folk who don't realize God brought them out and God woke them up. There are one or two folk in here who don't care who's looking at them that will testify that if it had not been for God, I wouldn't have made it. And I don't care what anybody does to me. I'm not going to let nobody make me sit down on God. He's been too good to me. I don't care what folk think about me or say it when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that is done for me. Y'all, I can't help it. I got to give him praise. Where are my praises at? Can we have a praise break right through here? Can we have a praise break right through here? Ain't he good? Won't he make a way? Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. He said, I learned some things. Amen. He said, I didn't get here by showing up to church on time. He said, I learned after some ups and downs, some ins and outs, some twists and turns, some pitfalls and peaks. Amen. I have learned some things. Now, I need you to understand that this affliction that the psalmist is talking about, watch this, this affliction is not orchestrated by the devil. I need you to understand that there are some things that happen in our lives as children of the Most High God that the devil would never bring us to for fear that we might learn some things that he doesn't want us to know. Let me tell you, don't ever allow the apparent ease of someone else's life to convince you that they have a closer or stronger connection to God. Because what I've come to find is that the true disciple of Christ understands that every now and then God will circumnavigate the circumstances of our lives to put us in a situation where we are helpless and hopeless without him. Come on, is there anybody in here ever been in that situation, amen, where you had to look up and say, God, if you don't help me? Come on, where are my folk at that have been in those situations where you had to, amen, you looked around for your friends, they were nowhere to be found. You looked around for family, they had walked out on you, and there you were looking up into the face of an omnipotent, omniscient, and almighty God, and you had to say, God, if you don't make a way, I don't know how I'm going to make it. But the good news is, my brothers and sisters, is that when God brings us to those situations, it is not to destroy us. It is not to defeat us. But rather, it is to strengthen us so that we might be able to withstand whatever weapons the enemy has in store for us in the future. See, don't think that just because you made it through one storm that you're not going to have any more storms. Come on, come on, come on. Don't think that just because you made it through one battle that the devil has somehow resigned and hung up his weapons of warfare and has made up his mind that he's not going to mess with you anymore. Is there anybody here who knows that after one storm, another storm comes? After one battle, come on, another battle comes. And what God does is he allows us to go through some things because he sees the whole picture.
He knows what the devil has planned for you the next mile of the way. But the good news is, because of what I went through yesterday, when I get to mile marker 213 and the devil is waiting on me there, I'm able to stand flat-footed, look the devil in the face, and say, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, because I've been through some things. Woo, you ought to thank him. You ought to give him praise. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but there's somebody in this room who's contemplating giving up. There's somebody in this room who's thinking about throwing in the towel, because you feel like God has abandoned you. You feel like God has forsaken you. But I've come by on this Sunday morning to tell somebody who's dealing with affliction right now. I'm talking to somebody who's saying, I don't like where I am right now. I don't like what I'm going through right now. You look real churchy. But I came by to tell you that you better learn how to shout in the midst of your affliction. Do I have any witnesses here today? Tell that neighbor, you better learn how to give God glory with the affliction. Come on, tell that other neighbor, you better learn how to give God praise in the midst of the affliction. I don't know when he's going to bring you out, but while you're in it, just know that he's teaching you something. He's training you. He's tutoring you. He's developing you. He's molding you. He's equipping you so that he can use you for his glory. Sometimes it's grief. Sometimes it's death. Sometimes it's termination from a job. Sometimes it's being laid off. Sometimes it's wondering how you're going to pay your bills. Sometimes it's wondering, why in the world did you have those children? Sometimes it's wondering, why did you marry that man or that woman? But tell your neighbor, it's training you. It's teaching you, getting you ready so that you will have a testimony on the other side. It's drawing you closer to the Lord, because, y'all, some of us would not pray if we didn't have some affliction. Some of y'all wouldn't be at church today if you weren't going through something. Some of us would never say, Lord, help, if we never had affliction. So my first point is that the psalmist celebrated the fact that he had afflictions, because he realized that his afflictions drew him closer to the Lord. Lord, I thank you that while I'm going through trouble, I'm getting closer to you. Come on. Anybody happy that you're closer to God today than you were on yesterday, and you realize it's because you had to go through some stuff? Amen. But not only does he say that his afflictions drew him closer to the Lord, there also appears to be the suggestion that the psalmist is saying that his affliction caused him to be more committed to the Lord. Yeah. See, y'all, it's one thing to be connected to God, but it's something else to be committed to God. He says, as a result of my trials, my troubles, my afflictions, I find that I am more committed to God. A whole lot of people can claim a connection but have no obvious signs of commitment. Y'all don't hear me? The people who only come to church on the first and the third Sunday, they have a connection, but they're not necessarily committed. Because committed people come to church as often as they possibly can, because they understand what Luke 4:16 says. Luke 4:16 says that Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. And guess what? If Jesus needed to go to church with all your drama, you ought to be up here, amen. As a matter of fact, you ought to ask the deacons to give you a key so you can just get in here all through the week. Come on, where are my witnesses at? Amen. So the reality is that connected folk read and study the Bible every now and then. Connected folk. But committed people read the word every day, because they understand that when they read the word of God, they get stronger. They mature, they develop, they become like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the committed person. See, connected people only pray when they get in a jam. But committed people pray when they get out of bed in the morning. Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. Because I realized that it wasn't my alarm clock that, amen, caused me to come out of my slumber. I realized that if you hadn't touched me with the finger of love, I might have slipped on into eternity. Committed folk know how to thank God. I was in New Orleans a few weeks ago and sitting in Jackson Square right there in front of St. Louis Cathedral. And for those of you who know anything about New Orleans, you know that that's a hangout for homeless folk. And as it gets late in the evening, all the homeless folk come from all over and they sleep out there in Jackson Square. And it had gotten so bad, they were sleeping on the benches that the city put arm rails on all of the benches so people couldn't lay there comfortably and go to sleep. But people still come out there and gather there. And I was sitting there one day and I saw this homeless man digging through the trash. He was digging through the trash and he pulled out a Burger King bag. He pulled out that Burger King bag and he went and sat down on the bench and he tore the bag open and sat there and there was a half-eaten burger in the bag. And he unwrapped that half-eaten burger out of that bag, out of the garbage can, and y'all, he did something that blew my mind before he ate a bite. And some of us are gonna go home and eat ribeye. Some of us are gonna go home and eat filet mignon and all kind of good stuff, and yet we will sit there in the face of God and not tell him thank you. Is there anybody here today who understands that you've got to learn how to tell God thank you? For all that is done, for all that has been, we ought to thank him. We ought to thank him and give him praise. So our affliction, they strengthen my connection to God. My afflictions, they strengthen my commitment to God. But there's one last thing I see in this text. I see that this text not only shows me that afflictions help to strengthen my connection with God. I see that not only do my afflictions help to strengthen my commitment to God. But my afflictions do one more thing. My afflictions reveal God's commitment to me. And I don't know how you feel about it today, but I'm glad to know that the Lord is committed to me. And can I be real honest with you? God is committed to us many times when we're not even committed to him. But when you look at this text, you see, I want you to look at verse 66. In verse 66, the psalmist is talking about teach me. He says, God, teach me. Can I tell y'all something? You better be careful sometimes what you pray for.